Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Y'all did an awesome job today, as usual. Teresa, it is good to see you. I hadn't seen you in a long, long time. It's good to have you. It really is. Feel like part of the family. How many of you know what today is? Sunday. Okay. Yeah. What was last week on the Jewish Rosh Hashanah? What's this week? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. What is Yom Kippur? That is the Day of Atonement. That's on a Jewish calendar. That is the Day of Atonement. They celebrated their forgiveness of their sin that God made way for them through Jesus. Well, they were doing it from God's point of view in the Old Testament, but we do it from the New Testament perspective. But they would celebrate being reconciled to God, being at peace with God. And that's what happens to us when we get born again. We get reconciled to God. He reconciles himself with us, and we're reconciled with him. And so if you have been born again and you have been reconciled with God the Father through Jesus Christ, I want you to stand to your feet, because we're going to celebrate. We're going to blow the shofar and try to anyway. And we're going to, as we blow the shofar, you just celebrate being born again, because he is the atoner. He is the one that paid for your sin, became sin for you, and removed your sin far away from you, never to remember them again. So they celebrated, and they really celebrated on the Day of Atonement. So we want to do that same thing. We want to praise God for his work in us and the great sacrifice that he made by giving up his only begotten son. Are you ready? Yes. All right. So when the shofar blows, you start praising God for your salvation. Y'all pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you have peace with God?
Yes.
Does he have peace with you?
Yes.
Tell somebody before you sit down. Yes. Amen. Boy, thank you, God, that you got me through that. Somebody told me the other week, said, pucker up, buttercup. blow that horn. Blow that shofar. Oh, the goodness of God in our lives. Well, that song really ministered to me. It really did. All of them did today, really. Let's see. I saw Cree. Cree, yeah. I was shared something about you last Sunday about a certain song. You remember, and there was a little bit of a boredom or something that was you. Am I saying that right? I know I'm exposing something here without talking to you. I'm sorry, but you remember that? Okay. It was like we sing that song and it just something wasn't happening with you that Sunday. Yeah, last Sunday.
Maybe I don't remember.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I do. I do remember it. But anyway, it was a conversation between you and. It was really you.
Okay,
it was really you that's. That got bored. The words were sort of like it was getting monotonous and all that kind of stuff. And Cree was sort of attaching herself to that. And all of a sudden, the Lord impressed upon me to go get her to sing it again. You know, y'all remember that? So you need the song, sing it again. God has a beautiful way of straightening out our off thinking. All of a sudden we have this thing about, well, God, I'm really not feeling it. We'll sing it again. You know, because it's really not about a feeling, it's about a worship that needs to come out of us. Does that make sense? So have you ever been called out on the carpet by God? In a public setting? Well, it did here. It just happened. So, you know, but it's one of those things that it is not a shameful thing. It's one of those things that our thinking gets in our way of worship sometimes. And all of a sudden, we're not free to express because our thoughts are suppressing. How many of you have ever experienced that before? Oh, see, we're in the right group. We're with honest folk this morning, you know. So we want to make sure that we allow the Lord to do what He wants to do in our lives, because we sing songs that says, "It's I give it all, I surrender it all." We did today. I give it all to you. And what we mean is, I give it all to you, except. Y'all know sometimes we really do that. Sometimes we really don't mean it, and God says, I really want you to mean it. Because that's true worship. It's when we really mean it. When we really mean it. When we really mean it. That's true worship. You know, that you can, the Bible tells us that our heart can be wandering away from Him and not even be close to Him, but we'll be going through the motion of worship. You hear me? Jesus made a point of that. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is actually at a distance from me. See, it's always a heart matter. Our lives are always a heart matter. We can go through motions sometimes, but He is looking for that heart. He's looking for the all in. Without reservation, without holding anything back, I'm all in. You know, that's very risky, but with God, it's one of the safest places you'll ever be. But I'm going to talk to you about guarding your heart today. We need to understand what's going on a lot of times in our lives and what's going on in society. We just came through a series of the fruit of the Spirit. And with all of that, the plunge in deep that we went through in that, we came out of that with a stronger desire to say, Lord, I want to know you more than I know you now. And I want to walk in you and with you deeper than I'm walking now. And I want to experience the fullness of who you are and not just a little bit of who you are. But see, He's looking for all of us, all of us, all that we are. He's looking for that to be given to Him. You know, we sang a song, He said, I lay down my life. You know, but the thing is, as soon as you lay down your life, you know what happens? Somebody takes it. Somebody will make sure you either stay down or treat you in a different way. But see, that's laying down your life for Him, to Him. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how to discover how to guard your heart. I'm going over in the Proverbs chapter 4 be the main chapter. Well, it won't be the main one. It'll just be the opening. Chapter 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. All diligence in your life. With all the effort in your life. With all the focus in your life. He said, make sure you do this one thing. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. For from it flows the springs of life. From it. From what? Your heart. Well, what is that? From it flows the springs of life. Another translation says this, listen to my words, never let them go away from you. Remember them and keep them in your heart. They will give you life and health to anyone who understands them. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful. Guard your heart. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Thoughts don't matter. Oh, they do. Oh, they do. What we think becomes what we do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it doesn't matter what we think. Sure it does. God puts emphasis on our thoughts, because our thoughts will soon become our way of living. It will shape our life. Another translation says this, be careful what you think, because your thoughts will run your life. Another one says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences, good or bad. It's the source of life's consequences. It says your thinking. Guard what you think. That's what he's saying. Guard your heart. Guard what you think. Another one says this. Above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they will affect all that you are. You hear the theme of everything? It's going to be your life that's coming from your thoughts. Guard your heart above all else, because it determines the course that you'll take in your life. Now, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, it does. It matters deeply. It matters greatly. And I'm afraid that sometimes we don't guard our thoughts and our heart enough. Jesus says it. He makes a point about it. He said over in Matthew 15 and 18, the things that proceed out of your mouth come from your heart. You know, you ever said something you shouldn't have said, and then you said, oh, I really didn't mean that. Well, it came out of your heart. And you might not have meant to say it out loud. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we say things that we really should have thought about that more. And that's what happens with that last thing that we talked about, is self-control. God, do I really need to say this? I know it's going to make my point, and it's going to make my point stronger. And sometimes, but you don't need to say everything you know. You got to think about, what does he want? What does he want? He says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. You know what slander is? Slander is telling the truth about someone with an intent to hurt. It's the truth, but you share it to slander them, to hurt them, not to help them. He said, that can come out of your heart. Jesus also said in Matthew 5:8, said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see him? Jesus said one way to see him is be pure in heart. So what this means is that our heart has a capacity to do either. That's a sobering thought. I can either have thefts, murder, and everything in my thoughts, hatred in my thoughts, slander in my thoughts, or I can have the pure heart and actually see God. I can do either one. I have the capacity to do either one. That's when it's so important to guard our heart. Guard what we're thinking. Guard what we're taking in, because it will bring you to a place that is a course of your living. Amen? Amen. Now, this is not a hard message. It's great. It really is. It's a great message. If we just take heed to what God's saying, it's going to take us further in our walk with God, and we'll be able to do things that we've never done before. Would y'all like to be able to do things with God? I would almost said for God, but I'll tell you a little bit about that. Do something with God that you've never done before. Are you at a place that that's what you want? Raise your hand. That's really what you want. I really want to do things with God that I've never done before. It's not that you're holding back. Sometimes it's just he can't trust you with it. He loves you, but he can't trust you with it. It's just like, you know, a gun with a toddler. You love them, but you can't trust them with it. So sometimes we're born again for years, but we're still toddlers. Some of us are still on the pacifier. Why is that? We haven't learned to grow up. We got stuck at being born again. There's nothing wrong with being born again. We need to be born again. But the reason we're born again is so we can grow in Him. And that way we can love God, love people, and make a difference. We need to be a people that makes a difference in where we live and where we are, where we go to church, our community, where we work. We need to make a difference wherever we go as the people of God. Proverbs 23:26, God said, give me your heart. Give me your thoughts. Give me your heart. And let your eyes delight in my ways. So there's the word of God, and then there's the ways of God, how God does things. And sometimes we know his word, but we don't know his ways. See, the Bible says that Israel knew his acts, the things that he did, but Moses knew his ways, the way of God. We need to understand the ways of God. We need to get the patterns that God has for us to live by. That's the reason that when the ark was gone and David got the ark back from the Philistines and he was coming back and he's bringing the ark to Jerusalem. You have to understand, he's bringing the presence of God. That to them, that was the presence of God. He's bringing the presence of God into his city. But he started out the wrong way because the ark stumbled a little bit because it was pulled on a cart, which is not the way of God. That's not the pattern of God. It was put on a cart that was made by man. So the cart was on something that was made by flesh. And the oxen stumbled and the cart was shaken, and one of his men reached up and touched it to steady it, and he died instantly. It upset David. But see, what happened to David was he got bothered about that, but he found out later that he was not following the pattern of God. There's consequences for not following God's pattern. There's consequences for us not following his word. But he has a way of doing things, and we need to learn his ways. That way when you say, that's not God, because that's not his way. God don't do things like that. You hear what I'm saying? So he found out that it can't be riding on a cart. Where did it have to go? on the shoulders of the priest. And it had to be carried by men that was dedicated to him. And it had to be carried in that way. Then everything was fine. As he brought it to his city, put it in his, put, brought it to Jerusalem. That's where he danced and got rid of all of his clothes and got down to his loin clothes. Dancing before God. Can't be dancing. David did. I had a pastor said, you know, that God didn't put a, told me, he said, God didn't put a praying knee and a dancing foot on the same leg. And I said, really? He said, no, he didn't. He was really against dancing, as you could tell. And I said, well, and he's a pastor, and we're still friends today. I said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to David about that. I said, I would let you ask him, but I don't know if you're going. And he said, oh, I'm going. And I said, yeah, and you're going to be dancing in too. You'll be so elated about going to heaven, about seeing Jesus, about seeing God, that you wouldn't help but dance. Yeah. Anyway. You see, we got to understand that this thing about our heart is a serious matter. Over in James, I want to share something real. Hopefully I can get through it. If I can't, we'll just pick it up next week or whatever. But James 3, it says, 13 says, who among you is wise and understanding? Question, who is it that's wise and understanding with you? Let him show by his good behavior, let him show his deeds and the gentleness of his wisdom. That's pretty good. If you're wise, you'll begin to show deeds that show forth your wisdom. You'll be able to do things that show forth that. Matter of fact, that same pastor asked me one time, he said, brother, how in the world did you get so wise? Because we were sharing about what seminary we went to, and I didn't go to one. And I was wanting God to end that conversation before it got to me, because I said, this is not going to look good for this boy. And I learned real quick, God didn't really care how I looked. He really didn't. He wanted me to be honest before the people. And I said, well, I where'd you go to school? I went to Chapman, graduated in 1968, Chapman High School. I said, no, where'd you go to school? I didn't go to seminary. That's when the same pastor said, he said, how did you get so wise? I said, if you see any wisdom coming out of me, if you hear any wisdom coming out of me, it came from above. It came from above. I ask God, sometimes I think I bother God. Because I'm going repeatedly to him. Lord, I really need wisdom in this. I know you do, son. Yeah. And then it might be 5 minutes. Lord, I need wisdom again. I know, son. And I'm going to give it to you liberally. You'll get more than you need if you just ask me. Oh, that's powerful. It really is. I remember Doug Logan sharing sometimes that they put him on, they elevated him, put him on a job, and put him in a job that had to do with computers. And he, I don't know anything about computers. Lord, I really need your help on these computers. And next thing you know, he's running computers. Why is that? God said, ask me for wisdom. And I'll give it to you in abundance. I won't give you just a little bit. I'll give it to you in abundance. He said, if anybody has wisdom, let him show forth, you know, by his good deeds and by what he's saying. But look at 14. Here's where we're going. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, bitter, not just jealousy, bitter jealousy. You're bitterly jealous about something. And you have selfish ambition in your heart. Watch what he says. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm about to show you. Verse 15. This wisdom, what? This wisdom. What wisdom? Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. This wisdom, watch this. He said, but it is, what wisdom is it? It's earthly, it's natural, and it can be demonic. Do you hear that? Earthly wisdom can be just a natural thing, but it can lead to being led by the darkness. Earthly wisdom, not wisdom that come from above. There's two wisdoms. There's earthly wisdom, and there's heavenly wisdom. Does it matter? Absolutely. Because the reason we have the bitter jealousy of wanting something or selfish ambition that we're after something and we'll do almost anything to get it is because we have taken what it is that maybe God has given or taken what an idea that we have and we've applied our own wisdom to it. Do you hear that? We've applied our own wisdom to it. Not the wisdom of God, but our own wisdom. So we haven't guarded our heart enough to seek God's wisdom on anything that we do. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, this thing, how do we get to the place that we're bitterly jealous and we have selfish ambition? Our own wisdom. This is what I think we need to do. He said, earthly of the natural, and it can be demonic. That's in the Word of God. We don't take heed to this enough. He said, this is it. He said, for jealousy and selfish ambition exist where it exists. Watch this. Where that exists, where you've applied your own wisdom and where this thing exists, is there is disorder and every evil thing. This thing about disorder is it's unstable. You don't have any stability. You're not on sure standing, and you have confusion. Do you think there's a lot of people confused in this earth? I can guarantee you there's so much confusion that people don't even know what sex they are. Are you hearing me? That comes from earthly wisdom. That don't come from above. It's disorder and every evil work. He said, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Now, he makes a point to say, first, it's pure. What does that first pure mean? It's sacred. It's free from defilement. It's holy. And it's true to the throne of God. Why does that matter? True to the throne of God. Why does that matter? Let me tell you what the Bible says over in Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation to God's throne. So his wisdom includes righteousness and justice. See, we can get all fighting for this thing about righteousness, but I don't think we fight for justice enough. We could not at times. Let me give you one example. 49 years this year. Next year will be 50. 49 years this year. Over 64 million babies have been aborted. 64 million. And we say, well, we won't bother about that anymore. You better be bothered about it. It does matter. We probably aborted people that he had was going to place on the earth to bring cures that we still don't have today. I don't know, but I know one thing: to have over 64 million to leave this earth and never had a voice in it. You hear me? The group of people that have no voice whatsoever is the unborn. And if we don't carry righteousness and justice with us and speak for the innocent and speak up for the afflicted, speak up for their rights, then I don't know what we're going to do. 50 years, it'll be 50 years next year. And we're already approaching another million this year. Well, how can that happen? A lot of times we start going in directions that is either founded on a lie, and we apply our wisdom to it, or it's based upon a truth that has been misapplied or a truth that has been twisted. The enemy loves doing that. What is a misapplied truth here? My body, my choice. That's the misapplied truth. Not according to God. You hear what I'm saying? So we have got to find the heavenly wisdom to make the wise choices that makes a difference in where we live. And not say, oh, well, it's been going on for all these years. No, it may have, but there's a voice that needs to arise up. Just like, you know, John the Baptist said, who are you? I am a voice crying in the wilderness. You may be the only voice, but be that voice. Now, I don't want that to be heavy. I just want it to be real, you know. And I don't know your position on abortion. I'm not asking you for that position. I know my position. But see, Proverbs says that the righteous and the fear of God will protect the wise, will protect the lives and the rights of the afflicted and the innocent. The righteous will do that. In other words, the righteous will carry the justice with them, because that's what his throne is based on. Okay. You'll begin to see that this selfish ambition will foster the spirit of entitlement. I'm entitled to this, so I'm going to get it. I want it, I'm going to get it, and I don't care what I have to do to get it. And you owe me. That's entitlement. See, that will lead us only to the disorder and the confusion that he said, this by using earthly wisdom. See, that's the reason we got to where we are today, using earthly wisdom instead of heavenly wisdom. See, when we have ideas and when we have thoughts, we need to check those thoughts in at the door of God's wisdom. God, what do you say about this? And what God says about it is what me and you ought to say about it. It may cost us. Are you hearing me? Okay. But there is a, you know, when we begin to play around with earthly wisdom, we'll eventually lose the authority that we have to minister to people who are operating in earthly wisdom. Can't minister to them. Why? We're operating in the same thing. When you have no peace, you can't give peace. When you have no wisdom from God, you can't give the wisdom of God. If you're operating only in earthly wisdom, that could be at that moment very demonic. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I'm not making it, and I'm not trying to make it anything other than what it is. That's what the Word of God says. It's So we're either going to believe that or not. So we have got to understand that we have got to depend upon the wisdom of God to start our walk in everything that we do. God, what do you say? Well, does it matter what God says? Absolutely. It should matter everything what God says. But see, there's an influx in this earth of earthly wisdom that is wreaking havoc on the soul of this nation, the soul of our children, the soul of the churches, and the soul of the schools. It's wreaking havoc on the soul of all of it. So we have got to get to the place to where we are. We're saying, no, look, no more. I may think of a way to do it, but before I do that, I'm going to ask God about it. You hear what I'm saying? And if it's a God pattern, if it's in the Word of God, then you're pretty good about it, because that's the wisdom of God. Because it will carry righteousness, and it will carry justice. Are y'all listening again? Is that why you're quiet? Well, how has it impacted the nation? Well, you can see our nation is running rampant with a lot of earthly wisdom that God has nothing to do with. Even to the point that churches, listen, has it impacted churches? Absolutely. What? Recently, just this past week, there was a church. Listen, there was a church in Dallas, Texas that, now I don't know your position on all this. I'm not asking. I'm telling you mine. And I'm telling you his. When I say mine, I'm lining up with him. And where I don't line up with him, I've asked in the Holy Spirit, Lord, everywhere I'm making a decision that is not from you, that is not from you, it's more about me or it's more about my wisdom, I want you to correct me on it. I want you to help guard me. Does that make sense? So here's the church in Dallas. What they did this recently, they had all the drag queens to come, and they blessed all the drag queens on stage in drag. Oh, well. Just somebody's got to love them. That ain't. Listen, here's what the pastor said. We align ourselves with them. We're going to make sure that whatever happens to our drag queens, we will be in a fight with them. We're going to align ourselves with them, not only in word, but also in deed. That came from that pastor. Not only in word, we're just not going to say it, we'll do it in deed. So they invite all the drag queens to come up, and they bless them in drag. They're blessing their actions of what they're doing. It's not blessing the people. They think they are. Do you hear what I'm saying? But where is the misapplied truth? Here's a church. Where is the misapplied truth? I'll tell you where it is. It comes from this thing that God loves everybody. It ain't about love. I'm not going to say God loves. He loved me when I was nothing. When I had nothing to do with him, he loved me. And I've told you before, when he reached down, he scraped the bottom when he got me. That's where I was. He loved me that much. He loves them. He loves everybody that much. But see, this is not about his love. They make it about love, because if you do anything against what they're doing, they say, you don't love us. Not true. God loves us, but you don't love. God does love you. And we ought to love the people. Really, we ought to love everybody. We ought to love the people. But they use the weapon. Hand me that water, please, Brent. They use love as a weapon. Thank you. They use love as a weapon Because here's what they do. They major on his love, but they reject his lordship. The reason God saved you, and the reason we have the Day of Atonement, the reason we have that is because he loved us so much, he wanted to save us from all of our sin. But he gave us a new spirit, a new creation. We became a new creation to do what? To live his kingdom principles. There's a justice in walking with God. There's righteousness in walking with God, but there's also a justice. See, people will celebrate the love of God while rejecting his rules of living. This is how you live if you're mine. This is what you go by. These are the things you don't do. These are the things you do. These are the things that are pleasing to me. These are the things that are not pleasing to me. Are y'all hearing me? Where does that come from? It comes from earthly wisdom. And to have this selfish ambition that they'll do anything, they'll do anything to get what they want, even if they have to destroy you in the process. Now, when I say they, it could be anybody. The problem that we have a lot of times, we will praise him as our Savior, but Jesus says this: why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not do the things I'm telling you to do? Because he wants us to do what he wants us to do. Not what we want to do. they may say, you know, it's right now. It's let me take a swallow of water. Thank you. It's LGBTQQIP2SAA. Why is that? Confusion. No, we laugh about that, but it's really not a laughing matter. I mean, it's really not, because it's confusion. Why is that? Earthly wisdom, misapplied truth, or lies, whichever it's based on. They say they're not after your children, but they are. See, it's a lie when they say, we're not after your children. But you know, the reason they did that in Texas is because Texas passed a law that there'll be no drag shows with kids present from 18 down. 18 and under, no, you can do this for adults, but you cannot do this for the children. This church is trying to overturn that. It's not because they can't have their drag shows, it's because they can't influence the kids. That's the war we're fighting. And we have to have heavenly wisdom to be able to say the things and demonstrate what God wants us to do in the midst of everything that's going on. We ought to love people. We ought to love everybody that comes in here. But see, God doesn't love you to leave you where you are. He doesn't do that. He loves you enough to change your life so you can live a life that pleases him and benefits others. Our kids are inundated with it. It's all over the place. You can't turn the TV on without it blaring in your face. Y'all hearing me? Yeah, but they make it about love, love, love. And see, we do love. We should love. We should always love. Are you hearing me? But we also say, this is not what God wants. But I love you. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough to help you get to where you need to be in God in your walk. Okay. Oklahoma hired a drag queen in elementary to be their elementary principal, despite this elementary principal having a former pornography charge on the books. Child pornography. Hired him as a principal. What are they after? After the kids. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look, they're all welcome to come here. Whoever, the doors are open. Anybody can come. You're welcome to come here. But you're going to hear the truth when you come. Do you hear? You know. Okay. But I see, that's the reason our children are getting so unstable. They're getting unstable because they're hearing earthly wisdom. They're getting earthly wisdom and they're confused. They're exposed to every evil work. And they're victims of misapplied truth. They're victims of that. And they're influenced, watch this, they're influenced to become arrogant. I'm right. You're not right, Mom and Daddy. I'm right. Do you hear what I'm saying? They become arrogant. Why? That's what the Bible says happens. He says, you become arrogant and you will lie against the truth. And that's what earthly wisdom will take you to. You'll lie against the truth, what the truth is. James 4, we've gone, James 4 says, what source of quarrels and conflicts, where do they come from among you? He said, does it not come from the pleasures, that the source of your pleasures? And it causes war. Say the word war. It causes war in your members. He's not talking about you and you and you and you. He's talking about in your members of who you are, the members of your body. It causes you. He said, where does these conflicts come from? It comes from this earthly wisdom, but it comes from this desire that we want and our pleasures, and we'll do anything to get it. And he said, and when that happens, there will be a war inside you. A war that's going on. And he said, you'll lust, but you won't have, and you'll commit murder. Does it mean you'll start killing? He said, no, you'll be so angry and so prideful about it that you'll do anything and possibly kill somebody just to get what you want. He said, you're envious and you cannot obtain it. He said, you fight and you quarrel. See, that's going on all over the nation. Why? Earthly wisdom, not the wisdom of God. We cannot allow ourselves to get into that vein without going into that vein with the love of God and the righteousness of God and the justice of God. And we need to love people enough to tell them the truth. They may hate you for it. But Jesus said, listen, as they treated me, they hate me, they're going to hate you. So here's the thing about it. You will never minister to people when you're only mirroring something that they're into because you're allowing yourself to mirror that back to them. Maybe not in action, but in words, because you want them to still be open to you. You'll lose the power to be able to tell them the truth when you compromise that way. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to minister to them, but we need to minister to them in love, with love, and the truth. And that, I'm telling you the truth. That's how we need to minister to everybody, any group of people, everybody. We should do that. He goes on and he says this. He said, you'll fight and you'll quarrel and you don't have. And he asks, and the reason you ask and don't get what you want is because God knows your motives and all you'll do it is spend it on your pleasures. So therefore you don't get it. Proverbs 10:22 says this, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich, that makes you have wealth in yourself. He said, and he adds no sorrow. The blessing of adding, the blessing of addition, you know how we get that? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Kingdom living, the government of God. Seek ye first to be governed by God and his righteousness and what? All of these things. Here's the addition blessing. That's the cycle of blessing from God. God will not bless a living that is opposed to his kingdom. Okay. But this entitlement breeds the spirit of war. And it's running rampant in our nation. I want what I want. I'll do whatever I have to do if I have to destroy you to get it. That's alive in this nation. It cannot creep into the house of God. We cannot let that happen in the people of God. Then he goes on and he says this, you adulterers and adulteresses, and he's not talking about the physical thing about having an affair. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about you were following God and now you've chosen not to. So you're an unfaithful lover. You're an unfaithful lover of God spiritually. How do we know that? Because he looks at it, he said, do you not know that, listen to this, friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Well, we need to be friends. He didn't say you can't be friends to people. See, there's a world that God created. That's one world. There's a world of humanity. That's another world. God, and that one, he said, I've created everything and it's good. He created the world of humanity. He said, for God so loved the world, the humanity in the world, that he gave his only begotten son. You hear that? Now, this world that James is talking about is an order of things that are void of Christ. It's a system that is void of Christ. He said, don't be friends with that. Do you hear me? Don't be, he said, don't be friends with that. Don't have a friendship with a system that is void of Christ. That's what he's saying. He said, you become friends with, he said, you'll be hostile toward God. And he said, whoever wishes to be a friend, and this friend is in a spiritual, a lover in a way, the order of things that are without God, without Christ. He said, if you become a friend to this order, you make yourself an enemy, God. Do you hear that? I mean, this is out of the Bible. It's not one of those little happy, great. It is a great message. It really is, because it's the Word of God. Why? Because God wanted to talk to his people and said, listen, you've got to stop leaning on your earthly wisdom. And I've got to close. I looked up and I saw there's so much more that I want to say, but, it's fine. This friendship means a fondness. Friendship is a fondness of the interest of the world to the point that it makes it yours. Your interest is my interest. That's the fondness. That's the friendship of that system. He said, the thing about the friend is it's a battle over your heart. It's a battle over all of our hearts. God so loved the world, the humanity. We gotta love people. We gotta love people. We gotta love people. Regardless of what they do, we've gotta love people. But we've gotta be able to tell them the truth about God's kingdom. The reason he loves you is so he can have your life to be lived in a way that pleases him, not that pleases you, or not that pleases another group. Okay, I'm gonna read you this. There's one whole page that I'll say I'm not gonna do. But it talks about submitting to God. He said, submit. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. See, we'll pull that out of context and use that verse all day long. Nothing wrong with that. But in the context, he said, submit yourself to God. Don't submit yourself to this wisdom out here. You submit yourself to God and the godly wisdom, he said, and resist the very earthly wisdom that is there wanting to influence you and I. He said, and the devil will flee from you. That's his promise. He'll flee from you. This thing about fleeing, he's not casually walking away. He's running. All right, here's the last thing. Guard your heart. You ready? Out of Proverbs 4. If you can memorize this, it would be great. Proverbs 4, starting with verse 20. And I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation. My child, pay attention to what I say. Pay attention to what God says. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Fix your eyes and stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you in God. Make out a straight path for your feet. Stay in the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And then verse 1 of 5 says this, pay attention to my wisdom. Pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment to others, and your lips will express what you have learned. Amen. Let's stand. This has not been something that that I have a fury about, of anger. I'm not angry. I'm not. But I do know how the enemy plays into these things. And we've all been subjected to the wisdom of this earth. And we've all been burned by our own wisdom. Yes or no? We've all been burned by that. But the reason we're so mixed up in a lot of places is because we have not sought the wisdom of God. What he says that we should do and how his pattern is in his love for us and how he wants us to grow to be more like Jesus. So we've been given the truth today for this very purpose of loving the world as Jesus loved the world. He laid down his life for it. God loved the world that he gave his only son for it. We need to love the world that we will be able to suffer for telling the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? You love them. You don't ever condemn them. You don't condemn anybody on what they're doing. You just don't do it. But you love people. The people you judge, that judgment's going to come back on you and me. So here we are, have in our hand truths to live by. And we can begin today to not operate by earthly wisdom, but begin to call out to God for his heavenly wisdom. Get in his word and learn his ways in his word. And we'll be able to make a difference to any person without them saying, you don't love me. They may say you don't love me because you don't agree with their actions. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that what you say matters. And Lord, we just lay down our opinion and we say, what do you say about it? Help us to carry your righteousness and your justice no matter where we go, unafraid of the consequences, because we want our thoughts to be lined up with yours and yours alone. Thank you for this people. Thank you for the patience of this people, for them sitting and listening today. And I ask you now, Lord, to move in our hearts in the way that we need, that when we move our next step, it will all be done by the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we thank you. If you do not know Jesus, you have not accepted Jesus, now is your day. This is your day. Anybody? Okay. All right. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to go. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.